We're dealing with the providence of God, one of the greatest subjects in this Bible. The word does not appear in the text, but neither does the word rapture. Words that we use constantly as far as our efforts to preach the gospel is concerned, and yet they don't necessarily appear as that in the scriptures. But it is as plain as the nose on our face because it's there in action and in reaction. God's providence of God is God's care for His creation. God not only created, but He cares for the creation. Now, a mother that's not worth a flip will have a child and just do away with the child one way or the other, or maybe just leave it sitting along beside the road somewhere for someone else to pick up. But God didn't do us that way. And God didn't do His creation that way. Can you imagine what this creation would be like if God had just left it to itself? It doesn't take but about 15 minutes of good, honest study in science and creation to know that this thing wouldn't stand if somebody wasn't winding the clock every day. I was in a preacher's home a number of years ago, and he had this large 8-day clock, one of the largest ones I've ever seen. And that thing made all kind of rackets. I mean, horns blew and monkeys screamed and, oh yeah. It made all kind of rackets when the top of the hour. And then at the bottom of the hour, it made rackets of one sort or the other. And I said, how often do you have to wind that thing? He said, about every 3 or 4 days. I said, I thought it was an 8-day clock. He said, it is, but it runs down in about 3.5 days. Well, what if God had just put this thing out here and said, this is an 8-day clock. I'm just going to let it run down. I'll wind it every 8 days. Hey, listen, the world you live in, this earth you live on, the sky you look at, the air you breathe, everything about us was created by the God of glory. Yes, and not only that, the God of glory is caring for it on a consistent basis. I'm in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness, underscore that word, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now listen to this verse. And God said, let there be, what's that word? Light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light. And the light came on. The divine government of God, whereby He guides and guards and orders His creation. All of His creation. From the beginning, you were not put here by accident. Amen. God did not put the sun in the sky, nor the stars, nor the moon. None of this is by accident. All of this is on purpose. Amen. God has a purpose. When God put man on the earth, He put him here because God had a purpose for them, not because man had a purpose, but because God has a purpose for us. Now, I could spend the night just telling you this, but let me just quickly say, your purpose is to honor God. Amen. Very simply put, your purpose is to honor God. And if we do what God would have us do, then we will honor God. Amen. That's all there is to it. Now here in Genesis chapter 1, the Word of God speaks of the creation morning when God said to a world that was void, to a world that had no real shape as we know it today and was in darkness, let there be light. I want to talk with you about that very subject tonight for a few moments. In the providence of God, light. L-I-G-H-T. The light that God spoke on creation morning came instantly to His creation. Did you hear that? It didn't have to come from somewhere else and move in to where God wanted it. God spoke it and it came to pass. There are millions, maybe even billions, could be even trillions of stars in space. We can only see a portion of them. I recall as a boy, the preacher was preaching, probably Daddy, preaching about the promise to Abraham. And God promised Abraham that his seed would be like the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. Well, I knew there's a lot of sand by the seashore, but now I never had seen a whole lot of stars. When you look up, you don't see a whole lot of stars, do you? But do you realize that you can't see the stars that are out there? We only see a token of what's out there. Because space is filled with stars. Reactors, if you will. Nuclear reactors. That scare you? The sun turns nitrogen into helium at 12.6 million degrees. Will that fry your eggs? That'll bake your bread in a minute, won't it? Burn your biscuits. Did you hear what I just said to you? 12.6 million degrees Fahrenheit. The sun is a huge nuclear ball out there in the sky. But the sun's not the only one that's out there. All of those stars, the stars are not reflecting as the moon does the light of the sun. They are reactors as well. We don't even know how large they are. And the comparison of the sun and the earth is unreal. That's a big ball. Oh yeah, far too big to be playing with. And God spoke it into existence. Now wait just a minute. Let's talk about this for a second. God spoke it into existence at least 6,000 years ago. And it's still going. Still going strong, may I add, in case you didn't notice. Huh? These past few days, except for the rain, we've had some warm temperatures. Some of our friends in Florida called us, "Oh, I wish I were up there." One of them called me the other night. He just came through and stopped a few hours with us and went on to Michigan. Then turned around, went back home to Florida. He got back down there and he called me. He said, "It's 112 degrees down here." He said, "What's the temperature up there?" I said, 82. I said, "It was 65 last night." He said, "I don't want to hear another word." God put this thing together, spoke it into existence, and today the sun's still shining. By the way, tonight the sun is still shining. Most of us when we were kids thought the sun went to sleep at night. But that's not the way it works. The sun's still shining on the other side of the globe. So the sun doesn't go to sleep. For all those years since our Lord spoke it into existence, the sun has been doing its thing at 12.6 million degrees, moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, century after century. It's still there doing what God created it to do. Now, when you look at creation, especially just what I've mentioned tonight, when you look at that, How on God's earth could you say there is no such thing as the providence of God? Amen. Even furthermore, how could you say there is no such thing as God Himself? Yes. Let me show you something. If you believe in God, you must of necessity believe in providence. Because the same proof that proves that God is, proves that providence is. Exactly the same evidence. The God that created is the God who is sustaining. What if you'd been birthed into this world and just left on your own? How helpless is a baby? How many times have I looked into the face of little newborn babes and just saw how helpless they are? They need mama. That's why God fixed it that way. They need mama. God's creation needs a daddy. 24 hours a day, the creation needs a daddy. Needs a father to watch over it and make sure that everything continues as it's supposed to. We saw a tragedy this past week in Hawaii. Things get out of hand on this earth. That's what I'm telling you. Is that right? Things get out of hand. Wind gets out of hand. Fire gets out of hand. Disease gets out of hand. And we step back and wonder, why are these things happening? Why does God let such things come to pass? Every new avenue comes at a cost. Amen. I wonder, and we'll never know, probably not even in eternity, we'll never know. I wonder how many people died as this nation progressed. Amen. Toward the West Coast. We don't have any way of knowing. How many people died as people left the old world, so to speak, and came to the new? How many ships went down? How many souls were lost at sea? Amen. All this comes at a great price. Every new venture has a price to it. Amen. But God knew that America was going to be discovered. Why did He create it if not? Amen. Some of us had forefathers here. If America hadn't have been discovered, what would it be tonight? But all this is in God's design. Who'd ever thought when they were riding donkeys and horses and wagons across the plains that someday we'd be flying across the plains? Amen. Not to mention driving automobiles. Amen. Can you imagine in an hour's time we can drive farther than they could go in a week's time, sometime a month's time? I make a statement now. Listen, God is a God of speed. God is a God of velocity. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that God is light. What did I just read to you a moment ago? God spoke and light came into existence. We've discovered, as much so as we can measure it, that light travels at breathtaking speeds. Amen. You could not exist traveling that fast. And the only time you'll ever be able to travel that fast is in your new body. Amen. As a matter of fact, in all of my study, I've never found anything that'll move any faster than light except a glorified body. And that glorified body moves beyond the speed of light because it moves at the speed of thought. Jesus left this earth after the resurrection. Remember in the garden when Jesus appears to Mary and she cannot touch Him? He said, "Don't touch Me. For I've not yet ascended to the Father." Now hang on, I'm showing you something here. Don't miss this. 45 minutes later, women, more than one, fall at his feet and kiss him and worship him. And he does not say, "Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father." Now, in order for that to happen, Jesus had to go to the Father, offer his blood for our sins on the mercy seat in glory. Not the mercy seat down here, but the mercy seat in glory. The one that Moses patterned the mercy seat down here after. Moses saw the real thing. Amen. There before God Almighty, Jesus Christ offered his blood as the high priest and as the sacrifice and returned to this earth. Amen. And 45 minutes later, women are bowing at his feet and kissing him. And he doesn't say, "Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father." Would you say God is a God of speed? Now, God is light. And because he is light, then he is of necessity speed. Mark, move over there to those light switches for me just a moment. Turn them all off. Real quick. Turn them back on. Now, if he'd have been a little bit quicker. That a boy. See how quick that happens?
Yes.
Hey, the instant that light switch is turned on, light appears and darkness disappears. Are you getting a hold of this? God is a God of light, and in him is no darkness at all. When he comes on the scene, light disappears. 1 John, actually, chapter 1, verse number 5, the scripture plainly states, God is light. God is light. Everything in creation is in motion. Now, I don't understand this. I've tried to understand it. I've talked to people who said they understood it, and they couldn't make me understand it. So that either makes them incapable of communicating or makes me incapable of understanding. So we'll just, you know, we'll go either way with this. But the fact is that light itself is something that only God could create.
Amen.
Now look back at it again. What did I tell you the sun was? It's a nuclear reactor. Those things are all over space. Everywhere.
Amen.
On a dark night, you can see multitudes of them. All out there. And then the sun comes on. When the sun comes up, what happens to the stars? Now, does that mean the stars are not there? No, absolutely not. What does that mean? It means that the sun is so much brighter than those stars that they disappear in the light of the sun. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When God's light is on the scene, all other lights go out. No wonder God declared that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Anything that man invents disappears in the presence of the light of God himself. Man, no matter how proud he becomes, no matter how high and how lofty he is, when God comes on the scene, he disappears.
Amen.
Why? Because he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This universe is beyond description. Let me just give you a moment here and move on. Everything out there is moving. We're moving.
Amen.
Remember I told you? We're moving at nearly 2 million miles an hour, sitting right here. Any of you didn't hear that? Any of you have a problem believing that? Well, just don't stick your head out the window. Can you imagine a bug hitting you in the forehead traveling that fast? Everything is moving.
Amen.
Everything. Light moves. Darkness moves, especially when light comes on. The planets move. The earth moves. The sun, the moon. Everything is moving. And it's moving at a breakneck speed. So fast that we can't even calculate it.
Amen.
Space. Someday when you have a little bit of time to kind of let your mind just wander, let your mind move out into space for a minute and try to measure the depth of space. How much space is out there? Remember, we're traveling through space. And hey, we're not parking somewhere every once in a while. No, no, no. We are traveling through space at breakneck speed. Everything is moving. Go with me for just a moment to, let's go to Los Angeles and get on the freeway. Now, first off, I'm not going to Los Angeles. So I'm going to let you go. So you get on the freeway and you head out down the highway, and here we are, everyone is doing 90 miles an hour. And this poor old boy over here on the side had a blowout. Now, what just happened? We just had a pile up like you wouldn't believe. Huh?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. You read about these 150 car pile ups? That stuff's real, honey. I could tell you some stories. I won't do that. But what I'm trying to explain to you and show you is that when everything moves at a high rate of speed, when one thing goes wrong, it's worse than a bug on the windshield. Just imagine, if God just kind of flipped one of the stars out of its socket and it collides with another one and collides with another one, and after a while, we've got total chaos. And all of this we're heading right into at breakneck speed. Now, what if God created and just left it alone and no providence was involved in his care? You see, this has been going on for ages. It didn't just start last night. It's been going on for ages. And it's still ticking and talking better than an 8-day clock. Why is it doing that? Because there's a God in heaven who in his providence cares for his creation.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, hey, listen. There's going to be chaos in the creation, but it'll be in God's time.
Amen.
Hmm? It's coming. It's coming. It's not going to be very long. It's coming. But isn't it good of God to promise that he's going to take us away from it before it all blows up? Simon Peter said the elements will melt with fervent heat. It's all going to go away. But then guess what? The promise is he's going to do it anew. This time without the possibility of sin. Now, I just told you something you don't understand. And I know you don't understand it because I don't understand it. Who in the world knows what a place without sin would be like?
Amen.
We've never lived in a place without sin. But God's going to recreate. This old earth will be populated again by people who will not die. By people who will not sin.
Right.
As a matter of fact, God's creation will one day be populated by His people. Now let me take a minute and explain that to you. If there is no death, and there are people procreating on earth, which there will be, not you, not me, because we have a glorified body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we dwell in a city called New Jerusalem. But God's people, Israel, will live on the earth. And those people will be just like they are today, with the exception of a body like Adam and Eve had in the garden without sin, and they will procreate. Now, how long is it going to take to have enough children to cover Tennessee? Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Yes.
So guess what? Next door, it's a planet. God's creation, not just the earth, but God's creation will be inhabited by His people.
Amen.
Say, how can that happen? Well, how has this happened? I said that one night, what I've told you just now, I said that one night in a meeting, and a fellow came to me and said, he said, how in the world can that happen? I said, how did this happen?
Amen.
Same God.
Yes.
Huh? And if He wants to fix the planet so they can be inhabited, guess what? All He's got to do is fix the planet so it'll be inhabited. And you know how He fixes the planet so it can be inhabited? Huh? He speaks. He speaks and it all becomes a reality. Now, I've said all that to say this to you. God in heaven, the providential God, the caretaking God, is both creator and caretaker.
Yes.
And just as sure as He's God, He's caring for us.
Yes.
Here's the beauty. Here is the beauty of God's providence. He cares for me.
Amen.
And He cares for you.
The
other evening I was out, I just glanced to the sky, and I saw what we call shooting stars. Saw a shooting star. And I said, God, how long ago did that happen? And You just let me see it tonight. Did you listen to what I just said to you? You see, that could have happened eons ago. And God let me see it.
Amen.
You know why He let me see it? He just wanted to remind me that He's God. And that's all we can do anyway. Just be reminded.
Amen.
Simon Peter said, I'm going to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. That's all we can do. It's all preachers can do. Is stir up your mind and cause you to see one more time what you knew all along. But your mind's put it back yonder somewhere.
Amen.
But you pay no attention to it. God cares for you.
Amen.
He put this thing together, and He's let us live on this earth. By the way, He's let us in America live in relative peace for a long time.
Amen.
For a long time.
Amen.
Oh, we've had wars over there. Some of us been there. But as far as America's concerned, we've lived in relative peace since the Civil War. May not be that way next year.
Amen.
But do you suppose God knows?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. One more thought. Did God know the flood was coming?
Amen.
And God went to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark.
Amen.
I can see Noah scratching his head. God, what in the world is an ark? You see, oh, he didn't do that. Well, Noah's just like I am. If God came and told me to build something I'd never heard of, you know what I'd say? What is that, Lord? So Noah probably said, Lord, what is an ark? And God gave him the design. He built it. And God sent the flood.
Amen.
Hmm? But you know what He'd done? He'd cared for Noah and his family.
Amen.
For one reason, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you found grace in the eyes of the Lord?
Yes,
boy, I am. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. But I found grace.
Amen.
In the eyes of the Lord. Now what I said to you is when it comes, we have an ark.
Amen.
Oh yeah. God's going to take us out of here.
Amen.
Maybe sooner than you think.
Amen.
Maybe before daylight tomorrow.
Amen.
God's going to take us out of here. I checked this afternoon. I don't have a thing in the world I need to come back for.
Amen.
I can park everything outside. It won't make any difference to me.
Amen.
Huh? You understand what I just said to you? Just realize that God is caring for His children. And He's going to take us home.
Amen.
He's going to take us home. Whether it be one by one or all together, He's going to take us home.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed for a moment.